It's Parshas Noach. The first one is Rabbeinu Bechaya. And Bechaya speaks about the concept of his halach es Elokim. It says es Elokim is halach Noach. What does this halach mean? Ve'oid, he says, she'ein loshen ze nofel ela la tzadik she'hisig mailas ha'shemesh ve'kochos ha'galgalam ve'kochavim ve'keter in pol in pulos b'shpolim. He says the pasuk, the word his halich applies specifically to people, to tzadikim, that understand how the sun works and the kochavim and so on. He's coming off previously, he had asked, it says in the pasuk, Achra Hashem Elokechem Teilechu, it doesn't say his halchu, and he says because his halchu is only very special people, big tzaddikim, and Teilechu, you know, we ask every Jew of Teilechu, but his halich is something that is shaykh only very big tzaddikim. So he defines here what is his halich, a tzaddik that understands the sun and the various spheres and the stars, etc. Lefi she'im ha'sogazos mispasim ma'ilas adon kol musa. Because understanding that helps helps proclaim, make famous HaKadosh Baruch and so on. He brings two more psukim on this, and then he says, that's why Noach, it says his halach Noach, because hisig mahalach Hashemesh kechos avatzumim, he understood the Shemesh and his kochos, v'loi nota libo achreihem, and but he didn't get led astray with it, ki yada b'chochmosik esibol yon al kulam, because he understood that there is a larger cause for all of it. Now, let's try to explain this a little bit, understand the point that he's making here. There really are three possibilities. One which he's not mentioning, but it's really the hidden piece over here. You have a person that looks around at the world and he sees the natural causes and he begins to think of that as the world, which is really Avodah Zarah. So a person sees the sun, the moon, the stars, the way they understood it in the olden days, that they will really control the world, and he looks at the wind, fire, etc., and he sees them as forces. That is something that is Avodah Zarah, and that's the mistake of the people that were Rishayim, etc. Today it might be people that look the science as the be-it-all, and so on and so forth. You have the opposite, a person that believes everything is Hashem, but doesn't see the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world around. In other words, he says, it can't be that the world runs itself, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what this world is, I don't know how, why, what, when, where, but everything is really up to Hashem. It is true that Amunah, the true Amunah, but it is of a lower Madrega for two reasons. First of all, it's the difference between Ach Hashem Telechu means follow me. For instance, when I walk with somebody, there are two modes. Think of it, there are two modes of walking with somebody. You're walking down the street, a stranger comes up and says, good morning, I'm new in town, where's the bakery? And you start explaining, and the poor guy doesn't have a GPS, and he doesn't know what you're talking about. So you know what, just follow me where I go. You go right, you go left, you go down. The guy is clueless about where you take him, why you take him, but he knows that if he follows you, he'll get to the bakery, and that's that. That's Achrei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. You follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this person is not walking with me, he's following me. Then there's a person that I want his company, I want to take a walk with him, and I say, Chaim, let's go for a walk. There we're walking together. Step by step, we're taking the steps together, so to speak. The understanding of how Hashgacha wends its way into the world and expresses itself in the world is the Shleimus of that tzaddik who is really dovek on Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that it's possible to call it his halach. So when he understands, so the person, let's take the simplest level of it, the person that understands the science of it and how and where it connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu really sees the entire picture. And there are two milas to it. One mila is that he deheres it really well. He understands how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses on this world. It's a more complete picture of it. And secondly, it helps proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person that rejects the world is emes, but for him to be mashpia on the world, to proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you either it's kind of either double or nothing. I've got to reject my science, my avodah zarah, my whatever it is, and just follow that. But a person that shows how Yad Hashem leads into it, a person that understands the historical patterns, and then shows how it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha that moved those patterns, that person is much more able to proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godliness and so on. At a simple level, we're talking about science, history, etc., etc. There's a deeper level of it. There's a whole chachma that is known as chachmas apnim, kabbalah, mister, whatever you want to call it. It is not a chachma that deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu per se, because nothing in the world can deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It deals with the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing himself within the Bria, within the world of mitzvahs primarily, and within the Bria. So in other words, when a person is taking a lulav and esrog, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you should take a lulav and esrog, that's wonderful, it's a great mitzvah. But there's no, but he's not threading the needle, so to speak, of the sukkah, of the lulav and esrog, and so on and so forth. When he understands like we say in the Yiratzins, that he's now with this lulav and esrog, he's being miyachad Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu and putting together the oisius, etc., etc., etc. There's an understanding of how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manifesting himself within the lulav and esrog, and so on and so forth. So that's a dag of his halach. So the Rebbe Mechaya is saying there are two madregas of following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is Achash HaMakechon Teleichun, which means follow me. It's the start. Whether you understand or not understand, I go after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The deeper dag is Es Halachim is Halach Noach, which means you're able to, so to speak, stride step by step with him. On a surface level, it's the chitzonis of the world. On a pneumistical level, it is the content, the what we call the spheres, the anhagas, and so on and so forth. The next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya. And it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world, kihisul basadak el aretz, and it says kimola aretz chamas. So the psukim seem to indicate that it was for Gzela that they were destroyed. Bielo HaKosov Shenechtam Zadim El HaGezel V'cheinam Yishayo Rachaki Me'oishek Ki Lo Tiroi U'Memechita Kotika V'lecha and so on, Ki Menach, and so on. So he says, Rashi brings it in Gemara, that Gzela was the thing which sealed their fate. Why? V'atam Lefisha Gezel min haMitzvos haMuskalos. Gzela is from the mitzvahs that one has an instinctive feel for, understanding for. It's axiomatic to a person. Shelula nita Torah other mitzvos v'sichlei. If Torah wouldn't be given, then a person would inherit his own seichel. And it's axiomatic and elementary that a person should not be taking someone else's money. I want to discuss this a little bit. this has been, there's been a certain tension over generations, and it goes as follows. The tension between the mitzvahs that are elementary, self-understood, versus the mitzvah that the Torah prescribes. As the Haskalah began, they said, they made the following points. And this was sort of a motif of a lot of the Haskalah writings, polemics, especially, and so on. That there are two levels of morality, goodness, etc. There is the commonly agreed, understood, menschlichkeit, and etc. And that is the most important, and that is that's the criteria for being a good person. You add to it a glob of religiosity, which is nice, it has its purposes, it's sort of a little cherry on top. And forever, lo lim yo'adam yirei shamayim, a person will be first to Adam, then yirei shamayim, and so on and so forth. And there was an insistent harping on the fact that the frum Jews are not good in that, and so on. Now, really, in a certain sense, like all things that are polemics, there was a hodgepodge of things. Some of that lolem ye'odam, some of that elementary menschlichkeit, was good things, like, you know, being careful and honest and so on and so forth. A lot of it was, if you don't dress in the style that people dress, you're not a mensch. If you wear a long jacket instead of a short jacket, you're barbaric. For some reason, barbaric people wear long jackets. I'm not sure which country in Africa, but knock upon him, barbaric people wear long jackets, they wear beards, they don't know how to drink fine wines, etc., etc. So that Adam included some things that are agreed upon as being good, and a lot of trash also. The reaction came, and that anything that reeked of common understanding, style, things of common social nature, became almost automatically rejected, and everything had to come through an understanding of mitzvah or avera. Now, we do believe two things. We believe that even the things that are axiomatic to all humanity in terms of tov and ra, that gzela is wrong, it's the root is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu deemed it as such and put it into us as such. It's not the things that are, it's not as if they exist. Menschlichkeit is what we came up with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came up with mitzvahs. So certainly that attitude is treif. And when you make that division in the sense that, menschlichkeit is, we ourselves figured it out, and that's most important, and Hashem has some whims, and now we have to do his, that is kfir, that's wrong. But the flip side is, when a person, let's say I look at a person, and I see he's negligent in mitzvahs that are not sechlius, I say he's missing that extra piece. If I see that he's negligent in things that should be axiomatic, he's negligent in gzela, in mitzicha, and whatever, then it's a much deeper pagam in the person. If it's not a question of, we're talking about the munah part, we're talking about a person, if a person is not cautious enough, he's not yet at the dagger, I don't know, he's kefen tzitzis, it's a chisaron. But I say there's solid ground to work on. When a person doesn't see there's anything wrong with stealing, then I see it's a deep hashchasa. So that's what Rabbeinu Chai is saying. if when we're talking in the appraisal of one against the other, and the Sfarim speak about this also when it comes to Karbanis, where the Navi is always being Mochiach, you know, what are you being Karbanis if you're being Shofek Damim, if you don't do Mishpat? These are all when a person is criticized and you evaluate what is he doing, what's he not doing, we ask ourselves, is his motive for doing the Ben Adam HaMakom good? If on an elementary level it doesn't express goodness. So that's what Rabbi Chai is saying over here, and Rabban says it also by Anshe Sdom, that when it comes to bringing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to totally destroy something, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has judged them incorrigible. They're not going to become good. For that, the measure is if they're lacking in basic Tov, which Gzeila is one of them, then they are not, there's no ticket for them.
Really? Yeah. Would that apply if the only way a person can have any status to these mitzvot and muskalos is by saying, well, this is something that Hashem said, but they can't inherently understand it?
Well, the Rambam says that that's not a full kiyum of that mitzvah. Now, the Rambam says that the chiyuv the chiyuv in mishpatim is not only to do it, but to inherit as being right. Mm-hmm. If a person says, I'd love to take my friend's wallet of a ma'esa, because Shpoch doesn't want it, he's not being kaya mitzvah completely. He's lacking. In other words, mishpat demands an understanding that it's wrong. On the other hand, on treif, that's probably the appropriate way to do it. Okay, next Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar. There's an understanding that the mabul in itself, besides the punishment, etc., also is a second Brias Holam. Goyim are called Bnei Noach, we're called Adam, they're called Bnei Noach. There's a new bris with the world, there's a new kiyum of Teva with the world. In a certain sense, if we can phrase it right, the mabul and all the inyanim came out of the mabul are a maisa bracious that humanity saw. It's Noach and his children witnessed a world coming in from almost nothing into being again. V'dai says, ki inyan amabul raya brura al inyan chidash olam v'ashkocha. The concept that you can create a world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mashkiach is locked into it. Bir oisenu shakadosh baruch hu manish u'mechal z'shem na olam. U'mashe sheres min ha-tzadik in gonoach u'banov. G'ze lo'oiz ke'olam mechudosh v'chashkoch ha-shafas v'shfolam. So the two main pillars of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Borei and as the Mashgiach, are both locked into the mice of Noach. First of all, you see that the world itself is not Hefker, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has standards of right and wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after those standards and sees where the people are holding in terms of fulfilling, not fulfilling. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then brings you the punishment for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can start a whole world, and so on. Kibivare kishem shaya oda marishin av v'roi shachol nevrayim achrov kene nach av v'roi shachol nevrayim achrov mabu. So there's a certain element of gracious starting again after Noach. And this is so when we look back and we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Borei Olam, so on and so forth, the Noach and the Mabul are sort of a version of it that we were privy to watch and to see. The next one is also Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, and he speaks about why is it that the nes had to be with a teva dafka. V'ulay tishol bikan ki mishe adava nes lama yitzav lasa teme tse yadua midis yadua esbarach v'koma. There's such a fastidious attention to the details and it should be this type of wood, and it should be this type of pitch, and it should be this way, that way, the other way. Once it's nice, Akash Bok could just save him by floating him in the air, you know, sort of nice. Why do you need to have a nace in the, why do you need all this detail? Vatshuva bazeh. Ki derech ha-teira letzavos ala adam she-yase kol yecholta b'derech ha-teva. U'ma she-yichos ha-teva ben yashem ha-nace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to do al-pi teva, and then the nace takes over. V'aderech zesim zechol ha-nisim ha-teirim tistakel v'em. Ki al-pi shem nisim for samim, yeshem ha-miktas. Even the most famous nisim in the Torah, you find all sorts of bits of teva. For instance, when it comes to war, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, they have to send out scouts and so on. The pasuk by Yeshua had a plan of having somebody in the back of in the city ambushing. So yeah, since all the wars of Klai Yisrael were through nisim, why do you need to have an ambush? So he says, the answer is, because certainly Shri Snag B'Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mashed in what's missing. Came by mitzvah B'Teva B'Tikra Marochos, B'Dorim Rabim K'ei Tzabela. I want to talk a little bit about that and explain this. What is the reason for it? So he does, in other words, Rabbeinu Bechaya is describing and explaining that wherever the Torah has Teva, wherever the Torah has a nes, Torah wants us to do the Teva, and so on and so forth. So one way of looking at it is that the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the primary Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to have Teva. That's the primary Ratzon. And therefore, we only can rely on the Nes, and we only are allowed to rely on the Nes, when Teva fails. So in other words, if I don't go to war at all, then I'm not using Teva. If I go with a gun and I'm trained and so on and so forth, and I did everything to the extent of my abilities, now it's appropriate and it's permissible to make use of nes. That's one way of looking at it. There's another way, and that's a deeper way, and it goes back to a piece that we had before in Rabbeinu Bechaya about his halach. As long as we see Nes and Teva as being two different worlds, then we haven't really described, proclaimed, expressed the true picture. In other words, drawing a line between the worlds is in effect taking a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of the world of Teva. Yes, you know, there's two modes. There's a Teva mode, there's a Nes mode, and you flip the switch one way or the other, but they're mutually exclusive. There's a framework for where only people's Meisim count, and there's a framework on Hashem's Meisim count, and those have nothing to do with each other. That's creating a wedge that is inherently false, and in a certain sense there's a bit of shneels to it. And as I'm saying, there are two mahalchim. There's a mahalch of Teva, there's a mahalch of Elokus, and either or. That is a little bit of a Rizardik. Whenever you take a look at all the Yeratzins you say by mitzvahs and so on, you always talk about being miyached. Yudkei and Vavkei, Kotshubichon Shchinte, etc. A hundred different variations of it. What they mean is it's a way of joining together what seems to be two different mehalchim, and they come to as one. So, for instance, let's say I tell somebody that if you do good things, that if you're tzaddik and you act, you do everything right, there's great schar in Gan Eden. So that's fine, but I'm lacking the chibur to this world. If I show somebody how a tzaddik prospers in terms of simchas hachaim, in terms of Tuva Chaim in this world, and that the mitzvahs and the Torah are really something that in this world blossom and flourish, then I am showing you that the two worlds are a continuum, not it's not a crossroads, and that is really the tachlis of the bria, to show that in our world the tov of this world is an extension of the tov in the other world. If I appreciate real tov and real simcha, so living the life of Torah or tzaddik gives it to me. That's the ultimate tachlis of it. So if we do things that are teva, and where teva ends, nes takes over, then we've accomplished that. If we were to do it through two different mahalchim, we just fold our arms and don't do anything, then it still leaves the impression that it's either or. So the time of doing teva as much as you can, the first level is pashut because that's what Kach Baruch wants. Kach Baruch, it's called kaviyochla tirchaklav b'mayla. Kach Baruch does not want that mahalach. That's one. The second deeper point is that it sort of is a it shows in a certain sense the where the person is. It shows that the teva and the nes are continuum. I want to apply it to a very practical nekuda. A person who is kol kuloi in the world of Torah, sitting kol, learning, and so on and so forth, and he's misnai kishura, it's a great thing, it's a wonderful thing. It doesn't complete the picture yet, because, yeah, he chose to be mi'al ba Hashem, he's nahar Hashem, he's eating man, he's cut off from reality, doesn't live a real life, and, you know, of course, so it's very tzitkis, very wonderful. Somebody who's out there and he's honest in his business and has very clear lines in terms of Kedusha and so on, in a certain sense, what he's accomplishing something the other person can't accomplish. It's not a reason that one should do it, but it is an accomplishment that's shayach to the person there, that's not shayach to the person who's not touching with it. The person who's trained himself for war and worked hard and then appreciates the hashkacha that's helping him win it, it's a much more genuine statement than the person who's sitting and working with Seamus and so on and so forth. That's, I think, an important lemaisa. Let's see one more piece. This is about the meaning of bris. It's a Ramban, very famous Ramban. He speaks about what is a bris. Now, let's phrase the question in our terms. When we promise something, we usually don't mean to keep it. When we say, I'm really, really promise, so, okay, it's maybe. If I kind of swear, if I, you know, all sorts of chizukim that we do, that sort of is mechazik, our ratzon to do it, our commitment to do it, etc. So by human beings, there's a whole range of expressions and maisim to enforce his doing it. It means he'll have to make more of an effort, he'll have to be more committed, he is more serious, fine. What's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what's a shvua, what's a bris, what's a Allah, what are all these things for? It is not shayach that, I mean, it doesn't need a chizuk mitzidoi, not mitzad the yecholes kaviyochol, not mitzad the rotzen, not mitzad the kiyum. What exactly is going on? So Ramban brings like this. Nakimoy says pisi, Omer Avram, lo ois kashem nishbaloish lo yomos b'malo banov. The bris is going to be, Nakimoy says that he's going to confirm the shvua, and the bris is a shvua over here. It doesn't explain, it's not an explanation why, just the word bris is an oath. Bakar v'lai, shezosa bris remez le keshes. This bris is the keshes. And the word bris means haskama v'dova shebochru shneim, something that both parties agreed on. where does it come from? It says boru lochem, meaning choose. It's by mutual consent. Vamilo besamuch v'muchras. The word bris can be used either as a noun or as a noun with an adjective, bris olam, and so on. V'chein shvus Yaakov, and so on and so forth. V'yeshem ki bris gvul karus, kol elu dvar. And some say that the bris means to cut something, which is the way they used to do a bris. That's Ibn Ezra. V'yeshem nachem b'derech hapshat. He would like to learn differently. V'akim oizet bris leimer. When the Mabul comes, I'm going to have a bris with you. V'abris hu dvar Hashem. Shirigza oimer v'loitnai v'shir v'yikayim. The word bris describes a dvar Hashem that does not have exceptions. In other words, most dvar Hashems are a deal. In other words, if I tell somebody I'm going to sell you the house, it means you're going to pay for it. And if you're not paying for it, or you're not paying quickly enough, or you're not paying the amount that we agreed on, it's not a deal. Most dvar Hashems are, there's a hidden, unexpressed, if you are deserving, if you do what's right and fulfill it and so on and so forth. If you don't do it, if you're not doing what's right, then mechatesa, I have to keep my word. It's not mechatesa, it's not meant to be. A bris means it's a metzias, it's established, and that's the key of the bris. And he explains a little bit. Al derech ha'emes habris me'olam hi. V'hamila nigzeres me'breishis bara lakim. The word bris comes from bara. V'ine barisi k'mo b'riyasi. V'hamila k'mo smucha. And the word bris is always smichus. In other words, bris is not stands alone and can be used with an adjective like bris olam, but bris always has a hidden extra word to it. Ki he smucha l'olam shal defanav. Yitzav eshetokom v'tiyem atzadik. In other words, it's bris olam, so to speak. Let's talk about this, and let me explain what he means over here. What he's saying over here is that Akadosh Baruch Hu speaks, when Akadosh Baruch Hu speaks, and in other words, promises something, there are things that are contingent. In other words, it means if you do mitzvahs, if you won't do averus, and so on. If Akadosh Baruch Hu says something with a bris means it has already been created. You may not see it, but it's a done deal. The butt has been flicked already. The Maharal, I think, says it by a Navi. That's why a Navi L'Toyv can't be chosen, because a Navi sees the reality a step before us, but it's already reality. Now, a bris is Miloshen a Bria, because it's something which has already been established. It's already in existence. And therefore, it's not going to change. It's one of the reasons why on a bris, when people make a bris, we do a maisa. When I promise somebody, I use my mouth and I say something. Always when I say something, almost by definition, the saying is a promise. And that's why it's not kona. But when I give somebody the key to the house, that's sort of a maisa, and that's already reality. I've already transferred the property. You've made a meshicha or a hagbah. That's not a promise. That's a reality. So if you're in my store and you pick up and you say you want to buy this bottle of wine, I say go right ahead, and he picks up the bottle, and you pick up the bottle, you cone it, because even if the bottle's from the store, it's already been metzias gone over to you. So bris, I think the way Ramban understands, means it's a ma'is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has gone, bria solom was with dibur. It's a dibur, and then it becomes a bria. Here also, there's Devar Hashem, and there's Bris Hashem. The Bris Hashem means it's already Metzias, and therefore it's not, the Metzias of not keeping the word is not relevant, because it's already been kept. Okay, we'll hold it here.